Hello and welcome to ABW Radio Live. ABW Radio, home or away, win or lose, Arsenal place, or the place, sorry, to share your Arsenal views. Fucked that up, didn't I? I'm your host, Chris, in stunning HD. Hello, everybody. This is a bit weird. Now, I appreciate, before we go on, I know it's going to be tough for some of you. I am this attractive. It's true. I know that's going to be hard for you, but just bear with me. All right. I'm joined by two other famously handsome chaps. I've got Pinky and Perky on with me tonight, or the Chuckle Brothers, or Fish and Chips. I could call you all sorts. It's Josh and Ellis. Good evening to you both.
Evening, Chris.
To me, to you. Evening.
Love it, love it, love it. Now, you two are going to behave, aren't you? I don't want to have to separate you over arguments about who's better than, or who's got a better beard, or... Yes.
Well, can't promise anything, can I?
It might be that lies on you. Right, welcome one and all. We've got a busy chat room as usual, 70 of you lovely people there. And my cat's just joined us as well, as Tommy. Right, so... As we get going, I'm just going to say to you all, I'm going to do a bit of an early plug. If you like what we do, give us a little thumbs up. Thank you very much. We really appreciate that. Right then, Basel 1, Arsenal 4, PSG, Ludogorets, PSG 2, Ludogorets 2, which means, boys and girls, we've won a Champions League group. Yes, Tottenham. It's called winning a Champions League group. Amazing that. Let's get some initial thoughts then, mainly on the Arsenal game itself. So let's start with Ellis, really going from right to left. So Ellis, what was your thoughts?
I was quite happy overall with the game. I missed Lucas's first goal because I've been moving some stuff around in my house, but I got there in the end and saw it. And luckily, his second one was almost a carbon copy of the first, so really I didn't miss out on it and I got to see the replays. But I sort of went in expecting maybe a weakish team because we qualified. It was largely out of our hands. It depended on the result against PSG and Ludogorets, which I'm sure we'll come on to later. So I wasn't expecting too much. Saw the lineup, thought, wow, it's quite a strong team. Was a bit surprised Alexis didn't get a rest. There was a bit of a time in the game where he got a bit of a kick in and I got a bit worried. But all in all, a pretty good performance. I thought we all played quite well. Some of the guys that came in thought they did well. Like, we've had games before when some of the fringe players have been brought in and they haven't really staked a claim or done anything to help their cause. But I thought the guys that came in today really had a good crack of it. Obviously, Gibbs being involved quite heavily in all three of Lucas's goals. I thought Ospina, when they did have chances and we messed up a bit at the back, he made some quite good saves. And I thought Rob Holden, other than his sort of incident when Dimbia came on, I thought he was pretty solid for the game. So all in all, pretty positive. And obviously with top in the group makes it all that bit better.
Positive. I like the word positive. That's always good. Josh, are you equally as positive?
Well, you've got to be after a win like that and just a win in general. Yeah, to echo what Ellis said, Lucas was absolutely superb on the night. It was one of those lineups that we've been crying out for a while when there's a game there that, you know, we just need to get it done, get the win. And beforehand, we've struggled and, you know, gone through it. And we're like, oh, for God's sake, why doesn't Wenger start with Ozil and Sanchez and we just get it done in the first half and then we can start looking to rest players. And that's exactly what happened tonight. It was kind of the tale of two young centre-backs on either side of the teams. With Rob Holding doing absolutely superb, I think, for his Champions League debut, and Balanta on the other team for Basel, who had a bit of a horror show, to be honest. Definitely at fault for Lucas's first two goals, but I'm sure we'll get onto that in a bit.
Yes, yeah, we certainly will. Quick shout out to the chat box already. That's a zinger straight away from Saif 9091. Perez hat trick brought to you by Kieran Gibbs. Superb work, good stuff there, sir. Okay, so we'll come on to the bits and bobs of qualification in a minute. Let's start with the Arsenal game itself then. Two up before you could blink an eye, really. And I think it was sort of all eyes on elsewhere at that point because it seemed like we were cruising. Ellis, fair to say two fairly simple goals from Lucas Perez, but as the cliche goes, you've got to be in the right place to score them. Awful defending, but nevertheless, two goals for the Spaniard. That's going to do his confidence the world of good before he completed his hat-trick, of course, which we'll come on to.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to be pretty pleased with the chances that he got today. Like, you can't complain, really, when you've got two like absolute sitters that have turned up. I think on the first goal, he he was quite composed, really. He had that chance. He took a touch when he could have just swung it and put it in, but he took that bit of extra touch, waited for the player to fall down his ass, and then popped it in. And then the second goal, like I said, pretty similar to the first one, coming in from Gibbs and getting into a load of space where open just for a tap in. So I bet he can't believe his luck, but I'm happy for him, really, because he came on, he made an impact. I think it was against Nottingham in the FL Cup, and then he got injured, came back again for the Southampton game, and people were quite critical of him. I thought a bit harsh, or so, considering how little games he's actually played for us. So to come back, play in the Champions League of all places, and to get a hat trick, I bet he's buzzing, and I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah, me too. I have to eat a little bit of humble pie later on, which we'll certainly touch on that. Joshua, at 1-0 comfortable, at 2-0 even more comfortable. Did you have any sort of concerns about us killing them off at that point? Because we were just so superior. It never looked to me like Basel had any sort of a foothold in the game. And then, of course, very quickly from 2-0, it became 3-0, which was nice. Any concerns at 2-0 before we notched the third?
No, I didn't think there was anything in there. I think the only problem that we could have was just a bit of rustiness from some of the passes. I think between the first and second goal, Rambo played a bit of a hospital pass in midfield, but we still came through that. And when you've got 68% possession by the 25th minute, you know there's going to be not a problem with putting them away. And I think, to be honest, there was one happy Basel man in the stadium, and that's their scoreboard man, because he certainly wasn't getting cold.
He really wasn't, was he? he was having a lovely old time, sat there freezing his knackers off. Okay, so Ellis, at this point in time then, the game, it wouldn't be fair to say it went into a lull, but straight after straight into the second half, Lucas Perez completed his hat trick. Lovely finish, it has to be said, and probably understating the goal slightly to a degree, but lovely finish across the goalkeeper to make it 3-0. Did he, the lads? anything to read into that, or do you just think it was the fact that he knew that two of his three goals were fairly straightforward?
I didn't read too much into it, and to be fair, until you've just pointed it out, I didn't really notice he did a celebration or made much notice of the celebration at all. But I think I thought for the third goal, I thought the keeper probably could have done better, but it sort of bounces up just in front of him, doesn't it? And am I right in thinking he's left-footed, Lucas? So that was on his right foot he took that, so that's quite a good finish for him if he has taken on his weaker foot and ended up to bury that. But took a chance, got a goal. What more can you say, really?
Yeah,
hat trick's a hat trick.
Take a chance on me. sorry, I have a reference there. And Josh, my tip for first scorer tonight, Alex Iwobi. I mean, hey, I just fancied him to score tonight. Would have been nice if he'd have got the first, but never mind, we'll let him off. But he popped up with a fairly simple third, but the ball into Mesut Ozil, the touch from Ozil, the disguised pass. Pretty tasty, really, wasn't it? Iwobi couldn't miss.
Absolutely. Although, to be honest, I didn't mind he didn't score first because I thought Lucas would. So, what can I say?
All about you, Josh, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's nothing about a football game going on tonight. Ozil had all the time in the world once that ball from Alexis came through, which, by the way, the guy is picking out some great passes this season, which is going out, you know, not necessarily going. Picked out for the first goal as well. Alexis with this second assist or the pre-assist, that ball over the back of the defender. His passing was superb tonight. And yeah, it was just there for Iwobi and he couldn't miss.
Yeah, happy days. That'll do his confidence the world of good as well, because he cops a bit of unfair stick, in my opinion, from some of our fans in recent weeks. So that'll do his confidence the world of good. We did concede a goal, probably the goal of the game, actually, from Seydou Doumbia, who did a lovely little roll around the defender and tuck away finish. Either of you give a shit? No.
Not particularly. I was a bit pissed off, though. The broadcaster kept showing that fucking goal replay over and over and over. And it's like, yeah, we've just banged four in. All right, calm down. It was a good goal, but fucking hell.
Yeah, I cared as much as Koscielny did tracking back after getting done.
Yeah, I mean, it's the small things that managers pick up on in training, but if we're only worried about one goal and we score in four and five as we did at the weekend, I'm not too concerned, to be fair. So while all that was going on over in France, now I've got to hold my hands up at this point, gentlemen, because I wasn't avidly watching the Arsenal game, I am officially now not a good fan. Sorry about that.
Shame on you.
Because we all know if you don't watch every single minute of every Arsenal game, you're not a real supporter. So I was quite heavily tuned to the PSG game with the Arsenal game alongside with Bayern Munich above. It was quite the setup. It looked like something out of, you know, that scene at the end of Inspector Gadget when Dr. Claw says, "I'll get you next time." There's just TV screens. Looks a little bit like that. For anyone that hasn't seen that, I'm old. Go look it up on YouTube. Anyway, child of the 80s, boys and girls, child of the 80s. Yeah, but over in Paris, quite the shock scoreline. Ludo Goretz taking the lead after some, well, comical Sunday League defending for PSG, completely unmarked for the opener, 1-0. PSG got level. My best mate, Edinson Cavani, with an overhead kick from, yes, you've guessed it, 6 yards, made it 1-1. And at that point, I'll be honest, I thought PSG would go on and get the result because they were battering Ludo Goretz at this point, throwing everything at them. And then wouldn't you know it, Marquinhos, who largely is, you know, one of the best up-and-coming defenders in the world, had a terrible sort of lapse of concentration, and off went Wanderson, who I think scored against us, didn't he, in the away leg, and tucked it in off the post. Areola, to quote John Welsh, made a tit of himself. Ludo Goretz were 2-1 up. PSG got a late goal through Di Maria, who was jeered by the fans throughout. And all of this, gentlemen, means that we win the group. So hold your hands up. Either of you, did you see that coming? Because I'll be honest, I didn't see it coming.
No, they're just a bunch of farmers.
You're just a shit bunch of farmers. Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games that's just, you know, they played without, well, they like they did with us at the Emirates. Like, okay, we won that. Was it 6-0 in the end, wasn't it? But they could easily have scored 3 or 4 at the Emirates, to be fair. They played without any fear. And PSG were just not at it at all. And I thought they, you know, they had nothing left with 20 minutes to go. And they will now finish second. So I suppose we should look at who we can draw before we go into individual performances for tonight. Who wants to give us a list? Or maybe you could do 3 teams each. How about that? That'd be nice and fun. So, Josh, who's the first 3 that we can draw?
So I believe, if I've written these down right, we can get Benfica, Bayern or Bayer Leverkusen.
All the bees, yeah. And Alistair and the others.
So we've got, after those 3, you've got Rail or possibly Dortmund, depending on the result tomorrow. Then you've got Porto and Copenhagen, depending on the results. And then Juve, Sevilla or Lyon at the end of that group, depending on the results there as well. So quite a mixed bag we can get from there.
Okay, I'll ask you both one question then. Who do you think will get, well, one question split into 2. Who do you think we will get and who would you like? Josh?
I would love Juventus because I just love Allegri and just Juve in general. It's just a great team. Although I think realistically, well, it's got to be one of Dortmund or Bayern, isn't it? So probably Dortmund.
You just see it coming, can't you? Just see it coming. Alice, do you concur or do you have someone different?
For who I'd like to play Real Madrid. I know that's probably not a very common opinion, but I'll always remember the time when we got to the final and we had that good game at Real Madrid with the Henry goal. And I'd just like to play someone a bit different other than Bayern Munich or Barcelona. So it'd be nice to, I think, if we got Juve like Josh would like, I think they'd really frustrate us. And the same with, we can't get them, but if we got someone like of Atletico Madrid, I think that's a similar team that could really frustrate us in the way they play. But obviously we can't get them, so it's not too much of an issue. But I wouldn't really like Juve. And in terms of who I think we'll get, it's going to be Bayern, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you. I have a funny feeling it'll be Bayern. Or I've got a feeling that actually tomorrow, because tomorrow's game will see the outcome of a couple of those groups. And the one that I'm really torn because I'm desperate to watch Lyon, but part of me really wants to watch Real Madrid Dortmund. And I've got a feeling that Dortmund will get something from that game. Now, their group at the moment, who's top of it? Dortmund are top, aren't they?
Dortmund are, I believe. Let me just check.
Just having a look myself. Group F. So Dortmund are top by 2 points. So a draw at the Bernabeu qualifies them top. And I think they'll get a draw there. I don't think they'll win, but I think they'll get a draw, which means that we could then draw Real Madrid. Just looking at that group as it is, who would you rather draw out of those two? Would you both rather have Dortmund? Because I actually would weirdly rather have Real Madrid at the moment.
It doesn't really matter at the moment, does it? Neither of them can defend. So I think exactly it's which that. One is more blunt in the attack. How long's Gareth Bale out? He'll probably be due back and would love to turn up against Arsenal. So I've got a feeling he'll be there for that. Dortmund, I think, I'm not going to say it's slightly easier because it's relative, but yeah, I think Dortmund would probably be the game we can win.
I agree with Ellis. I just have this sneaky feeling about Bayern. You just know it's coming, don't you? And in a weird way, you know what? It doesn't bother me because I don't buy into this. I think, you know, Porto are the only recent club that have actively come through a group and surprised everyone to win it. I don't think that will happen again. I think you have to be... cheers, Tom. Just sit there. Thanks. I think you have to be winning at least against two very top quality sides to win this competition. And wouldn't it be nice to actually beat some big sides once again and have those? I'm sure you both remember those nights against the Barcelonas, the Juventus at Highbury's, trying to think of other, Napoli at home, I think back to, you know, that's what being in this competition is all about, isn't it, Spurs? Oh, wait, hang on. So, you know, I wouldn't be against drawing a big side, and, you know, let's test ourselves. We're playing very, very good football right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'd just love... like to mix it up a bit, to be honest, because it's getting a bit boring seeing Bayern and Dortmund, and it would be nice to see us play another team. Even Benfica, even though we played them in pre-seasons of late, but something like that, just to mix it up.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, but it would be nice. thank you, Anush. I would be quite keen on seeing Lyon, just for the Frenchness in me. I'd like to see Lyon rock up at our place, because I do think we'd beat them fairly comfortably, I must admit, but yeah, I'd quite like to see that. Tommy is not a paid guest, by the way, so he doesn't get allowed to speak, I'm afraid. He's just here for the he's just here to look at you lot.
What, paid?
Well, he gets a small fee, but Danny pays for him. It's good. He's looking at me with such disgust at the moment.
All of Chris's pussy is paid anyway.
Absolutely. and a stripy pussy, no less. Right. Okay. So let's drill into some of the players. I could have used better terminology than that, couldn't I? Let's talk about some of the players' performances tonight. I want to start with the Xhaka Ramsey combination. Right now. This is not negative. So you know, this is not a rant. This is not me going full Neuer. I just want to temper it slightly and say it looked good tonight. I thought Ramsey was effective, if not spectacular, did the easy things fairly well. Still switched off a few times, but I think that's just the player he is. That's fair enough. I thought Xhaka was fairly decent, you know, controlled the game. His passing range was good, which you expect. All I would say is, and Josh, I'll ask you on this one first, just a sense of maybe let's not get too overboard just yet, because, again, Basel were pretty poor. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think the term is one swallow doesn't make a summer.
Very good.
Yeah, that's definitely where we were at the moment. There wasn't a huge amount of pressure on the two in our midfield. Ramsey, as you said, still had the few moments to have a couple of slip-ups, and Xhaka wasn't faultless in the whole game, but we were against a side that didn't punish us as much as a better side would have.
I think that's fair. And again, not being negative, just trying to sort of make it realistic or temper the overreaction slightly that I've seen. That's all. Ellis, what was your thoughts on that? And I hear there's talk of Ramsey having an injury or something. I didn't hear that, I must admit. So is that official, or what's going on there?
Well, the commentary on BT going on to Ramsey's injury, I think I can't remember who said it, who was commentating, but they said it, as he was coming off, it looked like he said to Wenger it was okay, it was just a knock. So I think it might be just a bit precautionary, really, for it. I don't think it was anything too bad. Obviously, he's just come back from a bit of a layoff, so I think they're just being better safe than sorry, really. But going back to the partnership for both of them, I thought they were quite good going forward. Xhaka's got quite this good passing range that we saw glimpses of previously, and we saw a couple of passes out wide that started off some good attacking moves, so that was quite good. And Ramsey, I think, really helps those sort of tight, intricate passes in and around the other team's box, making those sort of spaces and playing 1-2s and making opportunities and creating opportunities. So I think going forward, they're both quite good. I think defending wise, bit suspect at times. There was a couple of times in the first half when I think both of them actually did it, misplaced a pass, and maybe a better team would probably punish us a bit more in those situations. But maybe that's a case of getting to know each other. Also the fact, like we just mentioned, Ramsey's been off for a little while, and he's not really played in one set position, really. This was his first sort of time in that midfield too. He's played as Cam when he played in the EFL Cup. He's played out wide as well. So I think it's a partnership a lot of people I've been seeing on Twitter have been crying out for. They think this is the partnership we'll need going forward, especially now with the injury to Cazorla. But what I will say is neither one have quite got the engine of Elneny or the athleticism or the destroyer type of Coquelin. So they've both... All of those four like options we've got in those holding midfield roles, or not really holding midfield, but that midfield pair, have all got their own good points, and they've all got their own, not bad points, but weaknesses. But I thought they played quite well. But like you said, it's hard to measure up because it is a weaker team, Basel. Like, no matter what you say, the Swiss League is not the same level as what we're going to be facing in the Premier League or further on in the Champions League. So it's baby steps, really, isn't it? We'll see how they go. I think they've showed promise anyway.
Yeah, agree. I say, you know, it's not to downplay it. They were both did a decent job tonight, and fair play to them both for performing the level they did. I thought the one thing that I really noticed was the amount of time Basel gave them, and that when you look back at that, Delgado and El Yunusi in particular were bombing on, and even Seri Die, who's not the best disciplined footballer, who was supposed to be playing alongside Talent Jack, was just bombing on, and it was often like 3-1 in midfield, and that gave Arsenal a lot of space to exploit. So whereas I guess in the Premier League they probably won't get that sort of space, but nevertheless, if you're going to build a partnership on confidence, a game like this is probably a good one to do it in. So we will watch that, and you know for sure with Arsenal fans, this one will run and run, won't it? Nobody will be happy. if the two play together on Saturday and we get beat, it'll all be their fault. So, you can't win it all.
I think the positive side, we're having arguments and it's all about opinions and who we'd rather prefer there, but the fact of the matter is we've now got options in those positions. If you go back only a season and a half ago, Coquelin got injured, Cazorla got injured. We had the likes of Flamini and Arteta, who both weren't quite up to the standard that we needed. But now we've got options there. And this Cazorla injury is going to be bad for our season. I think everyone can agree on that. But I think we're a bit better equipped to cope with it than we have been in previous seasons, which is only a positive in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Strength in depth. Go on, Josh.
I think just to play devil's advocate on that, we have got a lot of options. But if one player drops out, like Cazorla has, we've got to change our whole system to accommodate that one injury. I think with the other four you've named, they're slightly more interchangeable, but Santi gives us something that those other four can't. We saw that with Ramsey trying to play the more intricate passes out and dribbles that he just doesn't have because he's just not two-footed. And that's no fault against him in his performance. That's more to say that Santi's just better.
Yeah,
but to argue with you there, you could just say purely from a point of Arteta and Flamini, these guys are still an improvement on them.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Sure. I mean fitness and mobility wise, full stop. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100% agree with that. And I think it's like you say, if we're gonna stick with Ramsey centrally and we're gonna bring Xhaka in, it's just, I don't think it's not the formation, it's just a tweak of responsibilities. And I guess you have to sort of say to one of the holding midfielders, if Ramsey does do his thing, you have to sit. I don't think it's Francis Coquelin's fault that he's been bombing forward. I think it's something the manager has asked him to do, in that he wants Coquelin to almost press the ball further up the pitch to try and win it back higher up, rather than letting the opposition come at us and win it in front of the back four, if you know what I mean. I think that's the reason why he's being asked to play a more offensive role, if you will. I don't think it's to get up and score goals, as some people seem to think. You know, I see it all the time on Twitter. You know, why is Coquelin playing so far forward? I don't think it's to support the attack. It's to win the ball back and give it to Meza or Alexis in those higher positions. But as you both say, that works fine as long as you've got somebody who is prepared to sit back if he doesn't win it. And speaking of, I know he didn't play tonight, but if you go back, and I never even saw it at the time, the goal we scored, I think it's the first goal we scored against West Ham, all came as a result of a Coquelin defensive interception in that area that Xhaka or Ramsey would be tonight. So you can start an attack from your own box these days. And I think that partnership is going to be something that we will come back to, particularly in European games as well, where it suits us probably a little bit more, depending on the opposition, of course. Let's look at some other players. Kieran Gibbs, I want to pick up tonight because he was quietly effective as well, wasn't he? Player who rumoured to be, in some people's opinions, was going a bit stale at the start of the season. Rumours that he could have been off, but he wanted to stay and fight for his place. Fair play to him, Ellis. You know, he's stuck around. He's not getting games every week, but if he comes in and does that, albeit against a, you know, not brilliant defensive side, couldn't really do much more than take his chance tonight, could he?
Yeah, definitely. I've been really impressed with Kieran Gibbs' attitude. He's basically been upset by Monreal. Monreal's taken that position for his. There was a sort of question marks over Monreal at the start of the season, but I think as the season's worn on, he's cemented his place back at the left back. And I think of the two, he's the more accomplished and the more better for the way we play. But the fact that Gibbs, he plays a lot of time. He's not playing a lot of games. He's not getting in the team. But most of the time when he's called upon, he does put in a good shift. And today, I think he's done really well. He's given Arsene Wenger the question whether he should or not. And you might see a bit of more rotation, especially over this sort of winter period when the games come thick and fast. And if he can continue to put in those performances when called upon, then it's only a good thing. I think in that left-back position, we've got two very good left-backs there. Maybe not the same sort of thing with the right back at the moment with the injuries you've had and the players that can come in. Obviously, we've got Gabriel playing there now. But it's good to know. It's nice to have, not to have an issue. Say, if Monreal was to go down injured and if Gibbs was to come in, I don't think anyone would really be too fussed or worried about it. Whereas, obviously, people have expressed their worries about Gabriel playing at right back or Jenkinson when he's been called upon, when Hector's been injured. So he's done really well, and like we've mentioned, he's heavily involved in all three of Lucas's goals. So you can't fault him. As long as he can keep this sort of form up and continue putting in those performances when we need him, then that'll be good.
Completely agree.
Yeah. I'll be surprised if Gibbo's still in the starting 11 when Bellerin gets back, though.
He won't. Yeah, he won't be, I agree.
He won't be there, because that's what we get, the balance with Monreal and Bellerin, is one of them is properly attacking, and obviously the unfortunate injury to Bellerin has brought in a more defensive right back into the side, which has then meant that we're now looking for a more offensive wing back, and that is Gibbs. He is the second best defensive wing back we've got. It's just unfortunate that we can't play him and Bellerin at the same time against most opponents, because we're just not good enough at the back to be affording two defenders up there.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what about, just sticking with you for a minute, Josh, what about Gabriel and Rob Holding tonight? Gabriel he's got such a weird face, doesn't he? Like, you know, it's not his...
That a mother could love.
Yeah, you know, I'm no oil painting, as you can see. It's not his fault, but he always looks really confused. I just can't get my head around. And he's got a massive mouth. It's scary. But taking his looks aside, given what he's been through, obviously, in the last week, emotionally, and, you know, I know they're all professionals, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, he's quietly been effective. And I wonder if playing Gibbs, particularly tonight, as you just said there, Josh, was the opportunity to play an attacking left back with a, you know, a more sensible defensive right back, if you will. And again, Rob Holding as well, both quietly impressive tonight. And it's a game like this for Rob Holding will do him wonders of good, won't it? Because it's another experience in a Champions League game where, let's not forget, something did ride on it.
Absolutely. It's the kind of game where a player like Rob Holding can afford to make a mistake and we won't be punished as badly as we would in other games, because he was at fault for the Dumbia goal. But as we've said, Koscielny couldn't give a flying fuck about whether or not that went into the back of the net or not. He was happy to stand off and that's the kind of thing that we need to do with young centre-backs. They need to learn to make mistakes in an environment where they can, and it doesn't affect the team, so it doesn't knock his confidence. Because, again, going back to Balanta on the other team, that's exactly what happened to him. He got a dodgy injury over in Brazil because he should have been over a lot earlier into European football. Until that happened, and he took his mind off the ball and wasn't doing the things that he was doing before. And then on the Brazilian Gabriel, or the Brazilian Martin Keown, for his looks and general with around play, he was absolutely fantastic. I didn't realise how technically skilled he was with his feet. He was playing the right passes, and for a centre back, it's great to know that we've got three or four centre backs now in the squad that know how to play a pass. And people were calling for Gabriel to go out. That if he's happy in the current position he's got in the squad, then I'm happy for him to stay, because we've now got someone who will happily replace Mustafi in holding, and someone who will happily replace Koscielny on the left side of defence in Gabriel, which is where he favours to play more often. And the only person I'm worried about is Callum Chambers, if he can get back into this squad ever.
And he, by the way, has been one of the best defenders of the Premier League of recent weeks.
He's
been
absolutely
brilliant, absolutely fantastic. And his partnership, I was watching him quite closely last night, his partnership with
Ben Gibson.
Yeah,
future
really.
England captain, I think, that fella. He is absolutely immense.
Really, really good. And I was really impressed with them last night, even from watching a, you know, from a defensive standpoint. I thought they were very, very decent. So, yeah, fair play to him. And as you say, you know, it's more game time at the end of the day. And that's all you can really ask for when you're giving players a chance. And when you look at it, when you look at the money John Stones has cost, and, you know, it's not fair to compare the two directly. I get that. I understand that. When you look at the money he's cost, and again, you know, I watched Marquinhos tonight make an error that, frankly, if somebody did that with my Sunday morning team, I would drop them from my Sunday morning team. It was that bad a defensive cock-up. Marquinhos is rated as a £50 million centre-back in the European market. To get Rob Holding for less than £5 million, that might just be a very, very good bit of business. And if he keeps progressing and he keeps doing the things that he's been good at, you know, keep him in there, I say, and keep going again.
On the Stones comparisons, I'd probably not look at the last transfer of John Stones to compare him in terms of rise, because he came from, was it Barnsley, into Everton for £600,000, if I remember rightly. It wasn't a lot of money, and he was converted from a right back. I think we've got to look at that progression, because he came from League One, as did Rob Holding, playing in the similar circumstances, and then getting himself into the first team. So I think that's a better comparison than the £50 million Manchester United Manchester City marquee signing that he is now.
Yeah, good shout. Good shout. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I'm going to try and find it. Somebody tweeted me some thoughts on Gabriel the other day, and I don't know if I replied to it or not, but
are they out of reach?
There's a joke in there somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm failing. Hang on.
It's unfortunate. So I'm pretty sure it's only Gabrielle's only hit.
Yeah. Well, didn't she have... It's the only one, isn't it? Yeah. She was the one with the eye patch, wasn't she?
She was.
She was indeed.
Yeah. Is she actually blind, or is that just a fashion statement? I don't know.
I think she actually is. But...
Let's move on before I get sued.
Exactly. By a fellow pirate.
Whoopsie daisy. If I can find that tweet, I will give it some airing, because I never did address it at the time, so hopefully I can find it. Anywho, let's talk about some other players that performed tonight. Let's pick up on Alex Iwobi, because again, as we said earlier, a goal tonight and a fairly solid performance from him. Yes, he still gives the ball away, but I'll urge people once again just to remember how old the kid is and where he's come from. A lanky kid who got his debut at Sheffield Wednesday. You know, he's 20 years of age. And that goal will help his confidence no end tonight, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. He's come up for a bit of, I wouldn't say poor form, but he's not been in great form recently. And a lot of people in the Twitter world have been getting on his back, which is a bit harsh. Like you said, he's a young guy learning his trade. He's going to make mistakes, but he needs to make those mistakes to learn from the mistakes. And they're going to shape the sort of player that he's going to become and turn into. But he's got some skills in his locker. He's got good ball retention. He's got good passing sort of range. I think he's going to be a good player, and we need to not sort of get on with. We've had discussions about Jenkinson, the sort of the abuse that he gets and how that might affect him mentally. We don't want to have another scenario like that, or a scenario where a young up and coming player plays a bit bad and then people start getting the back. We need to sort of just let him learn his trade, play his trade, and improve himself. But I think, like you said, that he's another one of these sort of young guys, bit of a confidence player, and that goal is going to give him confidence. I mean, it's another one that's literally laid on a plate for him, similar to Lucas's goal, as Mesut Ozil holds up quite well and plays him in. And you could see by the joy in his face when he runs over to Ozil, he's quite like happy that Ozil's managed to play that back to him. So I'm sure he's quite grateful for it. But I think he needs games like that, really, because he has been out of the team for a little while now. I think Ox has been preferred to him in the Premier League in another game. So as long as he can keep his confidence up and improve on what he has been doing at the start of the season, because he went for a little dry spell after making such a good sort of impact last season, he needs to sort of push himself forward a bit and work on it and get a bit better now.
Yeah, agreed. And once again, as we've highlighted with the holding and the midfield position, the fact that we've got two players of Ox and Iwobi's quality to fight it out for that left-hand slot, it can only be a good thing. You know, if they both drive each other on to better form and there's genuine pressure there. I know Ox didn't have his best game on Saturday, but you look at the stats and they say otherwise. So, you know, was it three key passes, an assist and a goal? So, you know, you've got genuine competition in that position as well, which a lot of the big teams that have got us or in the same league as us don't have. So fair play to them. I have to say, I would still upgrade a left-sided player if I could get one. But, you know, it's good to have those options. So can't complain. Let's get some thoughts from both of you just on Lucas Perez while we've got the opportunity, because program less than a week ago, actually, that I didn't deem him to be ready for the first team. I know, who'd have thought? I'm gonna surprise you even more now, because I'm gonna say that even after tonight, I stand by those comments, because I just feel that, again, take nothing away from him, but he scored two tap-ins and a very good third goal, and the third goal in particular shows what he can bring us. I think the one thing we are going to see is, I don't think he's going to be a centre forward for Arsenal as long as he's got a hole in his ass. I think he is going to be that player cutting in from that wide midfield position, and if it works, fine by me. I think he started his career there and moved into a central role with Deportivo. It's almost like the reverse Alexis, isn't it? We're going to shift him from forward to right or left. But as I say, I stand by my comments. I still don't think he's ready to be thrown into the hurly-burly of the Premier League as a full-time starter. But once again, Ellis, I'll start with you. You know, a hat-trick tonight that's going to do his confidence the world of good. All he needs now is to learn to smile, the miserable git.
Bless him. He, you were right, though. He did almost look embarrassed with the hat-trick he's got tonight. Fair enough, they are tap-ins, and I think he's only had three shots, and they've all resulted in goals, so they were easy chances. But you've got, like you said, you've got to be in those areas to take those chances. I agree with you, really. I agree with some of that. I wouldn't say he's not ready at all, because I haven't really seen enough of him to know. I didn't know anything about him when he was playing in the league. I didn't have a clue about him until we signed him, really. But what I've seen from him when he has played in an Arsenal shirt, I've been impressed. He's created chances for other players, and he's obviously bagged himself a hat-trick tonight. But I do agree with you. He's probably going to see more game time out on that wing than up front, purely because the way Alexis is playing up there, he's not going to take his place. And the fact that he's just gone on from that position and scored three goals, it's the always old saying, if it's not broken, there's no point trying to fix it. So you're not going to change it if it's working, really, are we? So, yeah, I think he's still got a way to go. Premier League's a lot different to the Liga. He'll need like a bit more bulking up and a bit more adapting to the physicality of the league. But he's making the right steps, isn't he, really?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? And Josh, let's get your thoughts as well. I think that's the thing you've got to look at. You know, he was very decent against Nottingham Forest, you know, aside clearly, no disrespect, but a lower level. And Basel, who ultimately were playing for not very much tonight, who were very poor at the back. But again, you know, it's not to take credit away from the guy. He was in the right places at the right times. The goals were doing the world of good. And, you know, let's hope he has a career, because he was signed late. And he can still contribute. And if we can get what I would call the Sylvain Wiltord effect out of him, where he can notch sort of 7-8 goals towards the end of the season, that might just prove crucial. So are you sort of backing him? Are you much like myself and Ellis? Are you thinking that he's more one that will come in, you know, later on in the season when he has fully adjusted? Or are you one that thinks he's ready to step in now?
He's certainly a squad player at the moment, someone I'd look to rotate. However, saying that, if you look at the rest of our wingers, you've got the Ox, you've got Walcott, you've got Iwobi, they've all got one thing in common. They're all right-footed, they're all very right-footed. What Lucas gives us is that left foot, and that just opens the pitch up, as we see with Ozil and Xhaka. A left-footed player just brings something different to the game, and that's something that we have missed since probably Podolski left the club. We haven't had a left-footed winger, and you'd be surprised how one-dimensional we've looked because of that.
Completely agree with that. Yeah, completely agree with that. It's another option at the end of the day, isn't it? And again, it's very hard to find anything to complain about at the moment. It's quite nice, isn't it? Like, I'm sure some of our fans will find things to complain about if we don't get a result on Saturday where we play Stoke, don't we, at home. So,
yeah, I'm not sure about his hair.
No. I'm not really one to comment on hair, in truth, but, you know, it's all good. Takes
or
a
boots.
Oh, stop it. I already saw Mr. Shredder describe me as the BDSM pirate earlier on, so thanks for that. Don't know what we're talking about, maybe avoid my timeline. let's, just before we take some questions, I just want to do something we don't usually do on this show, but fuck it, it's my show, so let's do it. Let's just look at some of the other results from around the Champions League and see who we're worried about. So we've already covered PSG, who I still maintain through very tricolour-coloured tinted spectacles, can still, on their day, beat anyone in this competition, as they've proven previously. Napoli have won the group in Group B, beating Benfica, who will finish second. Yes, they're second. They've qualified. Barcelona, never heard of them. Don't know who they are. Clearly winners of that group. Manchester City don't scare me, I've got to be honest, even after, you know, what we saw on Saturday. Not hugely scared of them at the moment. Atletico Madrid, well, you know my thoughts on Simeone. Yes, he's clearly a very good manager, but I'm not sure I buy into the style of football he likes to adopt at times. But nevertheless, they're going to be one team to look at, particularly given the fact that they're probably out of the La Liga title race. Bayern Munich speak for themselves. And then looking at tomorrow's games, Monaco... they didn't qualify, did they? Leverkusen qualified in second. Monaco win the group. Monaco, for me, have been one of the best sides in Europe this season. Again, I know I'm slightly biased, but I watch a lot of them. They're very good. Dortmund, Real Madrid, we've covered. Leicester and Porto, we've covered. Of course, Copenhagen could still qualify from that group. I don't think they will, but you never know. And then you've got the Juventus, Sevilla, Lyon three-way tussle for that group. In Group H. So, any of those teams, I'll get views for both of you. Which of those sides have maybe surprised you? Which of those sides do you think are the biggest threat to us, shall we say?
I will go for the hipsters one. Copenhagen, I thought they'd do better.
Did you?
Yeah, they've had a very, very good season and they've got a very, very tight defence. They still could get through because we know that, you know, Porto and Leicester, you've got Leicester who can, they turn up in this. They turn up in this competition. So perhaps we could see Copenhagen sneak through and they're potentially one of the booby traps that you could get in this Champions League. Maybe like a Monaco of a couple of years ago.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Fair play to you. Fair play to you for saying that, because that is completely full hipster you've gone there. By the way, thoughts of football. I can't find the tweet. My Twitter doesn't let me. I'll keep looking. And while I do that, Ellis, is there anybody you fear? Is there anyone that you really see as a bit of a dark horse? Anybody that you can sort of pick out from that group?
I fear all of them. the round of 16, we hate it. Monaco and a few seasons back, and it was like, oh, we've had a good draw. We haven't got Bayern Munich. We haven't got Barcelona. And we went and fucked it up. So, to be honest, I'm wary of everyone in this competition. You can't get this far and not be good, to be honest. Like, it's called the Champions League for a reason. There are a lot of good teams there. I'd be worried if we got, a weaker squad or weaker team even, and we didn't sort of step it up, or we didn't take it serious enough and we got punished that way. And I'd also be worried if we got one of the big guys. But I don't know. Like you say, I'm not particularly bothered if we come up against the English teams. I think in recent years, the English teams haven't been that great in the Champions League. And obviously we know them all quite well from playing them out in the league. And I think we could beat Leicester. I'm not going to have to beat Tottenham because we won't be there. And we can beat City as well. So I'm not too worried about those guys if we do eventually come up and face them in the tournament if we get past this round. But I think, I'd be worried about anyone because, like I said, they're all quality teams at the end of the day. I don't know enough, like Josh, about Copenhagen or some of the lesser known teams, but I think the Italian team Juve, I think I'd be worried about them just purely because of the way that the tactically inclined Italian teams can be. I think that could cause us some problems and frustrate us.
True.
I add one thing for Juve though? We notoriously play very well against a back three.
That's very true. Yeah, that is true.
Good point.
Yeah, be interesting to see what happens if we come up against Man City in a couple of weeks if they play a back three. Because personally, having seen what Chelsea did to them, I genuinely think we can rip City apart.
Play Clichy at left back, we're fine.
Did they try and play a back three against Chelsea?
Yeah, with Kolarov on the side of it.
Kolarov, yeah, and Sane and...
It's Clichy as wing backs, wasn't it?
It's Clichy, yeah, but it's wing backs. Yeah. I mean, we've all seen what Gael Clichy can do in defence. Not very much. This is part of the reason why I'm not on the Pep train, because I personally see it as a bit arrogant to think that you could take a player as average as Clichy and rely on him in the back three or with Kolarov.
Yeah, they haven't really got the players to sort of fit that formation, especially when you put someone like Clichy in there. I don't know, maybe you could get away with it with some of the players they've got, but. I think with Conte, you've got a man or a manager there who's played that back three for a long time and knows how to do it. But with Pep, I've not seen him do it a great deal.
Absolutely. You look at Conte has taken David Luiz and made him look like a semi-competent footballer again.
Yeah, Pep hasn't really had to have ever built a defence.
No, he's never had to rely on one, really, has he?
No, exactly. Absolutely.
Just blown teams away. And I might be alone in this. I don't think City are all that going forward without Aguero. I don't. Anybody else? I mean, I don't really get scared by them particularly.
No, I think both them and Liverpool, they're very suspect at the back. The only team in the league that really worries me is Chelsea, just from the form that they've hit now and how defensively solid they've been. But saying that, we're the guys that sort of kicked them into that form by smashing them 3-0. Yeah. So it's they're beatable.
City,
thank God we got that.
City have got a very blunt wing play at the moment. I think at the beginning of the season, Nolito and Sterling were tearing up the league. And now you look at it and I don't know if Pep's maybe playing around with formations too much and as he likes to do. But
I agree. Okay, we'll leave that part there. I found the tweet, everybody. I found the tweet. So let's give it some air. Why not for this gentleman who took the time to send me a longer message? It's from a chap called Ashley with a little copyright symbol. That's very funky. Nice picture of Alexis there. He's at Luka Modric. I like that. I'm sure he's a gooner, but he obviously likes Mr. Modric. And he sent me this on Gabriel. He said, since Gabriel's been mentioned a lot this past week, I wanted to know your thoughts on this. A lot of complaints Gabriel's had were about the way he goes into tackles, his timing, and how sometimes he looks completely lost. I know there's a language barrier, but could we all be... but he could also be very unexperienced. He always talks about learning from Per and Koscielny as if he were Chambers or a youth player, even though he's 25, 26. If you think about it, he's also mentioned that he hadn't played organised football until he was 18 when he joined Vitória's academy, and he moved up from Vitória to Villarreal, Arsenal in a somewhat short space of time. Do you think Gabriel's problem may just be that he's sort of behind and still learning his trade? We've seen good things here and there from him. Do you think he might be a late bloomer like Koscielny? I think that's some very good thoughts there from Ashley. I think he makes some excellent points. I think for all honest, nobody wants to write off an Arsenal player, do we? We all want everyone to succeed. I think we've all just been a bit concerned about Gabriel's development in the time he has been here. I think that's the concern. And if this run of games at right back gets him actual game time and he can build on that, then, you know, great. I think we've got Per Mertesacker's back in training now as well, isn't he? And Welbeck's on the way back. So there's even more options. I think it can only be good to have Gabriel playing games and enjoying it. So anybody want to add to that tweet from Ashley? Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think the only thing that is slowing down Gabriel's progression at Arsenal was the fact that we signed him on stats and stats alone. Wenger himself said he didn't check the player out mentally. So when he comes in, we've got to learn that from him. We've got to find out what he's like. And someone who didn't have great communication skills, it's going to take even longer for us to work out how to get the best out of him. What he understands, the way, how he trains and all of those things that happen behind the scenes, so to speak.
And it's funny how nobody mentioned the fact that Alexis Sanchez doesn't speak very good English. Funny that, isn't it?
Hmm. Yeah, but when I look at Gabriel, I don't know what it is about him, but obviously he struggles with English, but I reckon he just struggles with language, full stop. I just don't think he's a very good communicator as it is.
He's fluent. He just looks a bit manic. Man. But saying that, there are a lot of managers and players that have gone through their careers saying they don't speak very good English and it being absolute lies. I can think of a certain Tottenham manager that refused to do interviews.
Indeed,
whilst at Southampton for a good number of years, but whilst being fluent in English, just because it made his life easier. And maybe Gabriel's doing exactly the same thing.
Whenever, this is so mean, but whenever I think of Gabriel talking, I always think of Napoleon Dynamite and "My name is Pedro." I just imagine him, that like vacant expression, just saying the same thing over and over again, or going in like Subway and just going, "Okay," and just pointing at stuff. Like,
from vote for Gabriel.
Yeah.
From watching all of the Arsenal videos that are put out, every time he's there, he looks like a terrible introvert as well. I think it must be so difficult getting a conversation out of him. But I think, look, it takes all kinds of people to make a world and a squad. We're going to need someone like him in there. And when he's on the pitch, he is definitely not an introvert. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Okay, thank you, Ashley, for that tweet. I shall have to tweet him back because I don't know if he watches the show, so I shall drop him a line in a minute. But we'll finish with 5 minutes or so of questions from you, lovely lot. Just a reminder for anyone who's coming to our show late, if you like what we do, give us a little thumbs up. It makes Danny happy. And a happy Danny is a happy ABW. So give us a click if you like what we do. Or even if you don't, just lie. We won't care. Right. So anybody got any questions? My colleagues, Josh and Alice, will be feverishly copying and pasting them into my chat box. So if you've got any questions, now is the time to do so. Just give a few people some shout outs while we're doing that. We got Turnip Surprise, that's a great name. Joko, Andy H, Luke Evans, Unique 79, Craig Barlow. I saw our very own Akib, one through the box earlier on. Dave Griffin, Will Wallen, Rudy Rustios. Who else we got? We got all sorts of people.
Stefan was in there all the way from Bulgaria. Tuning in.
Oh, big Stefan. Is he on holiday over there?
No, work job, I think he's doing. And Sofia, he said.
He doesn't work. Lies. we got our first question. Stefan's just popped up. He's going to bed.
Screw you, Stefan.
Don't lie.
Shouted you out and then you left.
you're not working, Stefan. Don't tell somebody lies.
I'm sure if I'd shouted him out, he'd have stayed, Ellis.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, Stefan. I was looking for questions.
Victimization. First question comes from a regular viewer, Marble Halls TV. Let's give this one to Ellis. Can we win the league this season? Chelsea have got no depth up front. That's a fair point. City have issues. Fair point. Spurs and United have spent. Liverpool will miss Coutinho. What do you think, Ellis?
I was frantically trying to copy and paste a question and I didn't pay attention to the question. What was the question again?
Sorry. Marble Hall wants to know if you think we can win the league this year, given the sort of the issues that some of the other top four rivals seem to have at the moment, even though Chelsea are on a stomp, of course.
I think someone popped something in the chat about if we could win it, and I said maybe. I think it's a big maybe. We need a lot of our key players to stay fit throughout the season. Obviously, Ozil and Alexis are two key players, and even without them, you've got Koscielny, who's massively important in our defence, and maybe even Mustafi. I was going to call him Kostafi then, because I'm so used to saying it. Maybe Mustafi, we're losing one of those two, because they've got a really good partnership, although you have got Per coming back. But yeah, it does depend on a lot of injuries and form and how the games start to pile up, how far we go in certain competitions. I think we've definitely got a chance. I look at our team this year and there's been issues that we haven't addressed for some time now, or Wenger hasn't addressed. And I think some of those issues have been addressed now. And I think we've got one of our strongest teams we've had in a while. Go back four seasons ago and we didn't have the likes of Alexis, Ozil, Cech. These are all sort of world-class, Koscielny now, world-class players who are probably some of the best in the Premier League, who any would just walk into any Premier League squad. So we've definitely got a good chance. The only sort of other issue from the teams who we've got to try and beat is the fact that Chelsea, they've got literally a week to prepare for every game at the moment until, obviously, when FA Cup comes in, the Premier League takes a break anyway. So they've literally got so much time to prepare, whereas obviously we're going to be in other competitions trying to get further in the Champions League than the round 16 that we always get knocked out of. Then you've got Liverpool as well. We saw how a few seasons ago when they nearly won the league until Steven Gerrard had that slip. Because they didn't have Champions League or any European football. So I think those two could cause us problems. But of the two, Chelsea are more dangerous purely because they don't concede as many goals compared to what Liverpool do. And we've also mentioned City as well. They are always going to be dangerous purely because they've got money and they've got the players there to bring in and use. It's just they just look a bit dodgy as well at the back. So we've definitely got a chance, but there's so many variables there that can affect it. It's hard to call. Previous seasons, I'd be reluctant to say we can, so I'm just going to say maybe and sit on the fence.
Nothing wrong with that. And also, don't forget, we've got a January transfer window where I've got a horrible feeling that a certain Manchester club are going to spend a bit of money. And as much as I hate the twat, they can't be shit for the whole season, surely. And you know there's always that one club that has that little run and gets things together over Christmas. I've got a horrible feeling United's got a decent run over Christmas. I think they might still be... Not so much. I don't know if there'll be title challenges, but they can't be crap forever. Yes. Reverse psychology.
There's some bloke from Germany that's angling for a move. And to be honest, I wouldn't take him in our squad at the moment, however much he's wanting to come to us.
Is that Mr. Traxler?
It is indeed.
Not
the right player for us to be spending that much money on at the moment.
Not for that much money, I agree. And I do happen to think that maybe that ship has sailed a little bit. I think we had the opportunity to do it, didn't we, in that January window. Then we had another opportunity in the summer and we chose not to. I personally would rather us look at fullbacks. I do worry about Monreal's age. And actually that leads nicely onto our next question that I had here from AFL Fan TV. That's a good name, actually. Just about Kieran Gibbs' future at Arsenal. We've discussed how good he was tonight. Would you be confident him becoming the first choice over Monreal? Because I like Gibbo, but if you offer me Ricardo Rodriguez, I would snap your hand off, I've got to be honest.
With Gibbo, he's coming into his prime now at 27. He should be really angling for a starting move. And I think, as I've said earlier in the show, that, you know, I don't see him getting in when Bellerin's in the side because of the imbalance it leaves in the defensive third. So on that respect, if he still wants to continue being a squad player, he came through the Arsenal Academy, didn't he? So I think that's one thing that's holding him to the club. A bit like we've got the situation with Jack Wilshere and Jenko to a point, albeit he's a fan of the club, that he'll want to stay longer and let a few things slide in terms of not always appearing for the club. He'll be happy to sit on the bench. And you need those players in the squad. So if he's happy to stay, by all means, he is a very worthy backup. But we do need to improve.
Agreed. Yeah, I've got it on fairly good authority that we, if Gibbs had have gone in the summer, we had an agreement to sign Rafa Guerrero and we didn't pull the trigger because obviously Gibbs refused to leave the club, which is fair enough. But I can't help but feel that's going to bite us on the arse because he's so talented.
But that would be another issue, though, that we're talking the same thing, attacking left-back, attacking right-back.
Yeah, I guess to a degree. Again, I think it all depends on how mobile your holding midfield players are. If you've got two holding midfield players that are adept at getting across and covering, I think you can afford to do it. I mean, look what Chelsea are doing with, you know, playing Victor Moses out there. I mean, if you've got a player who's willing to do the dirty work like Kante does for them at the moment, you can probably afford to get away with it. But you have to, for example, I don't think you could play Ramsey and Xhaka with two attacking fullbacks personally.
No. Absolutely. It's Xhaka and Coquelin, or Elneny and Coquelin, I think.
Yeah,
for
exactly
that partnership.
Yeah. Or even a three-man midfield with one forward and two wingers rather than that system. So, yeah. But we shall see. We shall see. Let's have another one here. Let's see this one. How far will we go in the Champions League, Alice? That's a good question from the same person. Sorry, it's from Rudy. My apologies. Very relevant to tonight. So go on then, call it. How far do you see this
oh, for fuck's sake.
No pressure.
Like, history shows we'll go out at round 16, but we've given ourselves such a good opportunity. We've topped the group, but even now, top of the group, we can still pull out Bayern Munich. If you pull out Bayern Munich, I don't fancy us, even though they're going through a bit of a rougher patch than what they have been doing in previous seasons. But yeah, I think we can get past the round of 16 purely from topping the group tonight. So I think we can get further. But I think when it comes to the thick of it, when we start pulling out the Bayern Munichs, your Real Madrids, your Barcelonas, your Atletico Madrids, I think they, on paper, are a lot better than us. I know that doesn't mean much in football nowadays. You can have a squad. As long as they've got the right attitude, you can beat anyone, really, I believe. But I just think, from previous seasons gone by, that when we do come up against the bigger teams, we haven't really set down a marker. So I think we'll get past round of 16, but probably not much further than that.
Fair enough. I'm going quarterfinals myself. I think we'll get past the next. Well, I mean, I suppose it's all speculative until we see the draw, isn't it? But I do think we're capable
of definitely
getting to the quarterfinals.
The draw sets up who we can potentially get in the quarters as well, doesn't it?
That's true, yeah, because we get all the brackets, don't we?
Yeah. So I think seeing what side of that draw we pop up on.
Is it this week or next week they do the draw? Or is it next year? I don't know. I get confused.
I would assume it's next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they leave it to the next year, do they? No. I can't remember.
God, of course, you've got to get through the Europa League as well, haven't you? So I guess maybe it is next week. Okay, we'll keep across that. Thank you, Simon, by the way. We've got time for a couple more then. Unique79, question for the panel. If we progress even further in the Champions League, do we stick with Ospina or play Czech in goal? Now, that's a good question. For me, you stick with Ospina. So I'm tempted to say to the final. But that's being very, very over-ambitious, maybe. What do you reckon? I mean, I would stick with him because I think he's a very good goalkeeper and he would be first choice at most clubs, I think. If you're going to back a player, surely you've got to stick with him, haven't you?
I think it depends on our opposition, pure and simple, because Czech is very good at certain things and Ospina is good at certain things. If we've got a team that likes to punt in crosses, I probably want Petr Cech between the sticks rather than Ospina. If you've got a team that is more of a long distance shooting team, then I prefer Ospina. He's a better shot stopper than Petr Cech, especially at the near post. So, I think it depends on the draw when we get to the latter part of the rounds. But then again, Ospina is only playing in the Champions League for us this season, touch wood, if Cech doesn't get injured in the Premier League. The guy's not playing FA Cup. And he's not playing, wasn't playing the EFL trophy. So he's only going to get, less than 10 games? I should say that more than 10 games this season, because we're going to get to the final. So that's, 14 games?
I think he deserves to stay in the squad. I don't think Wenger really... I don't know, this is just my opinion, but I don't think he looks into teams and picks his goalkeeper from what they're going to do. I don't think he looks that. I think he's quite a loyal manager. And I think if we've played Ospina, and like you say, he's sort of this this is the only games he's getting is the Champions League, I think he'll continue to stick by them. And I think he should, because he really kept us in the game in the PSG when we first played them in the group stages. And I think he made some good saves today. I think he's a really good shot stopper. I don't think he gets enough credit. I agree with you, Josh. He's a bit deficient when the balls come into the box, and those sort of areas of his game is a bit lacking compared to Cech. But I think he deserves to stay in the team, especially if that's the only games he's getting. Like, he is a quality player and he does deserve to play and have game time.
Do you think there's slightly more hunger with Ospina in the Champions League, seeing as Petr Cech's won it already? Albeit with another team.
I think there's an argument that there's more hunger for him to play because, you know, like Ellison, you both have said, it's his only opportunity to play. So I guess he's more focused in putting in performances. I don't think the winning thing comes into it, because I think if you're a winner, you know what it's like to win and you want that again. So it never stopped Iker Casillas or Victor Valdes at Barcelona.
Oh, he's not a goalkeeper.
Not anymore, he's not.
Never was.
Question here that just came through from where is it? Oyekunle Omanyi. Hopefully,
perfect,
that's right.
Pronunciation.
beautifully does. It's like Danny's in the room, isn't it? In order of preference, which team would you prefer in the next round between Bayern Munich, Juventus, and Real Madrid? I'll answer that one. I'll take any of the three because we are the mighty Arsenal and we shouldn't be afraid of any of them. So fuck them all. Probably Juventus is the one I would not like the most, just based on what Josh said. I agree with him 100%. Couple more then. Question for me, actually. I didn't write down who it's from. Sorry, somebody asked me a question. I apologise. Considering holding success, should Arsenal be dipping into lower English leagues for players? I've got a thing on this. If they are good enough, yes. And I know you can't judge if they're good enough because they're playing at the lower league, etc. But if they look good enough and they're technically good enough, yes. If they dive around like the pathetic Dele Alli, they can fucking stay at MK Dons and rot. So that's my view on that one.
You could have done a really good plug there, Chris.
Could I?
For a certain podcast that you guys feature on.
Oh, I'll do that.
English
in a minute,
breakfast. Because that question kind of came up in there, didn't it? And I thought, is it Ross spoke quite well about that?
He did. I shall plug that in a minute. I'm afraid, Unique, no. Tommy is not for sale, I'm afraid. No, he's very much not for sale. Neither is Bobby, who's behind me there. Look.
He's got an £89 million release clause, but not for you.
awful lot of whiskers for that. Akib wants to know Premier League or Champions League. For me, Premier League. You too?
Premier League.
Yeah.
Fuck you too. Champions League.
Oh, you've gone full rogue. Oh. Okay. I can see why people want to win the Champions League. I do understand why, but for me, just Premier League is the biggie. It's the biggie over the long term. I like it. Okay. Paygo, that's a good question. I'm just going to... we'll answer it because I don't want to be mean. He just wanted to ask, who is your preferred midfield combination? We answered this on the podcast last week. And we all had different, myself, Rami, Shaban, Danny, and who else is on? Mr. Hollick. We all had a different view on this one. I like Coquelin and Xhaka myself. This is based on what we've got available now, by the way, so no Cazorla. Josh, who do you prefer?
So I'm going to sit on the fence. Depends who we're playing, because you don't necessarily need a destroyer that far up a pitch, as we saw tonight. You don't need Coquelin and Xhaka. That's what we've got now. We've got options. We don't need to be, oh, this is our best 11 for all time. We've got so much more depth now. We haven't got a hard and fast starting 11. The whole bar, probably the back... Well, I'd say back three now, probably. Goalkeeper and centre-backs. The rest of it is fluid.
True.
Especially at this time.
You're allowed to sit on the fence. Somewhere in deepest, darkest Essex, John Welsh's head just pricked up when you said hard and fast. Ellis, have you got a preferred combination?
This is like the never-ending debate. It's never going to go away. We're never going to be happy with it. And everyone just keep picking different people. So I'm going to throw my opinion in there and say we should play per Mertesacker and Giroud in there for height. There you go.
Pace, love it.
Pace and height, that's what you want.
That's what you want. Okay, I'm going to ask tonight, it comes from me, because I've been seeing a lot of people on the Twitters this week saying that if a certain Frenchman at West Ham is available in January, they would go and get him to play left side for us. Now, I'm against this idea, but I want to know what two people who maybe don't follow French football think. So, would you take Dimitri Payet in January if the price was right? Josh?
Fuck off. No.
That'll be a no then.
It might have been a yes. You might have just wanted to say, tell you to fuck off.
Yeah, true. Fair enough.
No, it wasn't Ellis that asked the question.
Anything you want to elaborate briefly on with that? No, any reasons why?
Too mercurial for my liking.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And Ellis?
Surely if the price is right, then yes. What if the price was like, here, I have a pound.
Yeah. What is the right price? Let's say I offered him to you for 35 million. Would you spend that much?
No, I wouldn't spend that much on Dimitri Payet. I don't think we'd even get him for that much from West Ham. I think he's a good player and he does have his attributes. But for that price, I'd rather risk not getting a player in January and then get a bigger name or a better player in September.
Is that 35 million?
September,
pound,
not leave it that late, but in the summer.
So, yeah. Is that 30 million pound in taxpayers' money?
I think it probably is. Okay. Yeah, to sponsor the stadium or something. Yeah, and people forget, you know, he's not a young lad. He's what, 29, 30 now. I got an awful lot of stick last season for saying that that Payet is a very talented, but mercurial is a good word, and he can be very overrated. Now, there's a reason why he was let go from a lot of clubs he's been at, and he tends to perform when he's got something to play for, i.e. the Euros last season, or when the team is performing around him. He's not a player that can often drag a team with him. And I know people will say immediately, oh yeah, but he dragged West Ham up with with the season last year. I don't think he did. I think he contributed massively to a West Ham side that were performing at their optimum level last season. And as brilliant as his free kicks are, and they are, you can't just sign somebody on the strength of a free kick, in my opinion. And his work rate sometimes is questionable. The one thing I would say, though, unlike a certain Mr. Merson, he did not make his name at West Ham. You absolute idiot. Sorry, I cannot get off that soapbox. So, I've wound me up so much when I read that. Anyway, so there we go. There's our questions done. Right, we'll leave it there because we've got an extra 10 minutes more than I planned to anyway. So you've had your fill of us for tonight, boys and girls. Thank you very much for joining us in the chat room. If you've been with us, we appreciate it. If you've given us a thumbs up, we love you dearly. If you didn't, then why haven't you? Do it. But thank you very much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back after the Stoke game on Saturday. Is it something like Saturday. A 3 o'clock kickoff?
Indeed.
I don't know what one of those is.
No,
I thought that's when El Clasico's played.
Oh, that was ridiculous over the weekend.
It was, wasn't it? 3 o'clock kickoff's really annoying me as well, because then I can't like sit back and watch the evening game. So, yes. But anyway, we'll be back. We'll be doing a show on Saturday. Somebody will be here. The podcast will be available, of course, on Thursday night, late Thursday evening. The lineup this week, I've forgotten it already. Jace is scheduled to host, subject to work. So it'll either be me or Jace hosting. If Jace is free, he will host. If not, I'll be the emergency substitute. Danny will be there. I think Jeff Arsenal. I think Mr. Welsh is on this week, actually, from memory. So if you're a fan of shit beards, tune in. John will be there. As Josh so eloquently mentioned, if you like listening to my dulcet tones, and frankly, who wouldn't? No, I know you really wouldn't. But if you do like listening to myself, or indeed a colleague of ours who these two gentlemen know well, Ross, we do a show called the Football Hipsters Podcast, which you can tune into. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Tweets are all over my page. Have a look at that. If you like European football, the Tuesday show is for you, which just released tonight. And if you like your English football, then we do a show on Sunday night called The English Breakfast. So you might enjoy that if you haven't already tuned in. So give us a go. Right, that's it from us then. My thanks to both Josh and to Ellis. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for scraping the barrel and getting Josh on with me today.
Well, you know, cream rises to the top at the end of the day. Thank you all very much for joining us tonight. We do appreciate your support. Follow us at the FH, at the FH podcast. Don't follow that one, but at the AFC podcast. Terrible plugging. As we always say, keep it Arsenal, and we'll speak to you on the podcast and on the radio show on Saturday. We won the group. Happy days. Good night, all.
Yeah.